and ask me what the heck is a zabava. It's not the kind of party that I go to with my baba. The music's kind of loud and the dancers kind of sweaty. I'll tell y'all about it, have a listen if you're ready. Better head moves, big sipped zabava. Lots and lots of booze, big sipped zabava. There's girls in good shoes, makes a really good zabava. And a kick ass band makes a great zabava. Country, they do it like they should. There's always lots to drink and there's tons of homemade food. The city folks, they try their best, but really tell me please, there must be better city food than those little cubes of cheese. Better hand foods, big sip of zabava. Lots and lots of booze, big sip of zabava. Girls with big boobs makes a really good zabava. And a kick-ass band makes a great zabava. All my friends are going, they all like something different, but to each his own. Me, I like the music, others like the dance, and some just want to drink, and drink, and drink, and drink, drink. Better head boots, make sipping zabava. Lots and lots of booze, make sipping zabava. Those are big shoes, makes a really good zabava. And a kick ass band makes a great zabava. The boys from UNB, the Cimarrons, the Starlights, but really, let's be honest, the best ass kickers are the Kubasonic! Better head boobs, big sipping zabava. Lots and lots of booze, big sipping zabava. Those big shoes, makes a really good zabava. And a kick ass band makes a great zabava.
And from Edmonton, Alberta, that was the Kubasonics from their fourth and most recent CD called Play. And sorry for writing the censor button there, but there's a little swear word in there, and this is a family show, so it's not that bad a swear word, but we do have a censor button, so might as well make use of it. And that song was called Great Zabava from the Kubasonics' fourth CD called Play. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського Коріння. З вами Павліна Макварі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Павліна Демчик-Макварі, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you. Sylvia Molnar will be along with a recipe for cucumber soup and some interesting information about a herb that is commonly used in Ukrainian cookery. Keith Perron has news from Ukraine, and we'll also be chatting with Andrea Malish with the Canadian First World War Internment Fund. And Andrea was at the what was supposed to be the official opening of the Interpretive Center at the Cave and Basin National Park in Banff last week, which unfortunately was canceled, or postponed rather, due to the flooding in the area, and she'll be giving us an update on all that. As well, we've got a listener contribution. This is from a new listener who is a student in New England, and she's studying the Ukrainian language with the help of Nash Holos, believe it or not. She'll be telling us all about that. And coming up later in the program as well, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And up next is another group that you'll be hearing from at the Vegreville Pesenka Festival this weekend, July 5th, 6th, and 7th in Vegreville. They are called Kalabai. They'll be performing with Trembita and Millennia as part of the Trembita Big Band at the Zabavas, which you're not going to want to miss. Again, that's in Vegreville this coming weekend, July 5th, 6th, and 7th. Here is Kalabai now to give you a taste of some of the great sounds that you'll be hearing. This is from their first CD, Kalamika Casualties, and the song is Rozvivaysya Zelene Bayrache. Thank you.
де козаче, завтра Боги буде. Забирайся, молоде козаче, завтра Боги буде. Я морозу, та й не боюся, зараз розіб'юся. Я походу, та й не боюся, зараз уберуся. Я походу, та й не боюся, зараз уберуся. Чорнобілки, сідайте додому. Ой, ми хлопці, хлопці запорожці, верніться додому. Ой, ми хлопці, хлопці запорожці, верніться додому. Полетіли, хай посвітали, туман нарагає. Ой, раділи, та й рататіся, гей, малих пускає. Ой, раділи, та й рататіся, гей, малих пускає. Козаками улай загарцує, тільки нами, нами козаками улай загарцує. А вже галки, галки чорнобілки, усе поле криві. А вже хлопці, хлопці запорожці, чару народили. А вже хлопці, хлопці запорожці, чару народили.
Don't miss the fun at the 40th Annual Ukrainian Pesenka Festival, July 5th, 6th, and 7th in Beggarville, Alberta. Five grandstand shows featuring dance groups Shumka and Chetamosh, choral groups and soloists, five dance bands including Darmahai from Ukraine, and much more. As well, traditional Ukrainian folk arts demonstrations and displays, rope making and blacksmithing shops at the Pioneer Village, and the Yarmouk Marketplace. Savor the smell of homemade clay oven baked bread. Take in the cultural variety showcase of multicultural performances and kick up your heels at the evening zabavas. Enjoy Ukrainian music all weekend long and, of course, delicious, authentic Ukrainian foods. And on-site camping. This year, to celebrate the festival's 40th anniversary, main gate admission is free for all 3 days. That's the Ukrainian Pesenka Festival, July 5th, 6th, and 7th in Beggarville, Alberta. Details at www.pesenkafestival.com.
Thank you.
that was Millennia from Edmonton from their most recent CD, Bratia. And that was Ostafi's Odyssey. And Millennia will be joining musicians from Calabai as part of the Trembita Big Band, which will be playing at the Zabavas at the Vegreville Pesinka Festival coming up next weekend, July 5th, 6th, and 7th in Vegreville, Alberta. And here is a number by the host group, Trembita themselves, from their most recent CD, Keep Calm and Polka On. And here they are now with Hey Kume, the Godfathers.
Zaprosili mene i žinku dokuli, tam i tom čojs prikupili, pričepurili si i pišli. Sličan je nas kuma Marjana, bo nam u kvitočka cvete, a jec pohjane srce vjavne, a vse što inše až lute. Kuma raz, kuma dva, kuma jahoda moja, підморгуєш ти бровою, але діл у нас нема. Кума раз, кума два, кума ягода моя, ти мені така хороша, пропаду без тебе я. Заснули, ми з кумом п'ємо тут у двох. Мар'яна каже, щоб не чули, піду посиджу у садок. Тобі іще одну налити, питає кум моя, не чар. Його не можна перепити, бо це є кума самого. Що пропаду без тебе я.
Last Wednesday on the Nanaimo edition of Nash Holos, I spoke with Andrea Malish by phone. Andrea is with the Canadian First World War Internment Fund, and she gave us an update on the official opening of the Interpretive Center at the Cave and Basin National Park in Banff that did not happen due to flooding in the area. Andrea, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, there was supposed to be an unveiling of an interpretive center. Can you explain what exactly that was, what the interpretive center is and what was supposed to happen?
So on June 20th, the Parks Canada was supposed to be opening the National Internment exhibit at the Cave and Basin National Historic Site where it has been built. And unfortunately, due to weather, the event that we were going to be having Minister Jason Kenney attend, along with the Endowment Council of the Canadian First World War Internment Recognition Fund and internee descendants, was obviously canceled due to weather. So we're just looking for now a date that they will provide us, hopefully in the next within the next month, that we can go back and officially open this National Internment Museum in the jewel of Canada, in the Rocky Mountains.
Now, the ironic thing, Andrea, is that a lot of the roads that were leading into that area were actually built by internee labor.
That is absolutely true. So the during Canada's First National Internment Operations of 1914 to 1920, for those that do not know, there were thousands of many men, women, and children who were unfortunately branded as enemy aliens. They were imprisoned, stripped of whatever little wealth that they had, and many were forced to do heavy labor in Canada's hinterlands, and specifically building up the Parks Canada system at Cave and Basin at Banff National Park. And so a lot of the infrastructure in that particular area, their bridges, the town site of Banff, the roads to Lake Louise, and that area were all built on internee labor.
And were they badly damaged in this latest flood just last week?
Oh, well, I'm not really clear on exactly, you know, what areas were badly affected, but I do know that the Endowment Council were stuck in Banff over those days. They were unable to get out. Obviously, the road to Canmore and Banff was closed. At some point for a few days, the road leading west was closed. Roads leading anywhere in Banff outward, either west, north, south, or east, were closed. So we were literally stuck in Banff. So even though Parks Canada has postponed the event, they were kind enough to invite those who were in town at 2 o'clock on June 20th up to the historic site. They had a light refreshment reception for those, the Endowment Council and internee descendants who were there. And they did allow us into the National Internment Exhibit to view it for a period of time. So at least for those of us who were there, we were able to view this wonderful exhibit.
Can you describe it a little bit?
Well, it does tell the national story of the internment operations. It tells it from Parks Canada's view. And it does mention a number of internee biographies, families who were affected, and it does briefly tell their stories as well. We understand, of course, that there were 24 internment camps across Canada, literally coast to coast from Nanaimo out to Halifax. And so they do tell the national story as far as where the internment camps were located and all the affected communities who were interned. The Ukrainians made up the majority of those interned, but there are many other ethnic communities that were affected, including the Serbians, Croatians, Hungarians, Czechoslovakians, Polish, the Turkish community. So it was nice that this story was inclusive of all those that were unjustly interned.
Indeed. So we don't know yet. You were telling me earlier that you don't know exactly when the official opening will be taking place, but it will be open once the area is cleared and open again to the public.
No, unfortunately, Parks Canada has stated that it won't be open to the public until it's officially opened by Minister Kenney.
Oh.
So we're awaiting word from, obviously, from his office, working through Parks Canada, to establish that date that we can all go back and have this wonderful exhibit open to our Canadians and our tourists and our communities to see exactly and learn about what happened in First World War.
Now, is there a website where people can go and get more information about the whole operations?
Please visit internmentcanada.ca. And on our website, of course, we'll post as soon as we know the notice of the date of the exhibit opening, official opening date. But we also list there teachers, guides, and other educational materials that the Endowment Council is committed to working and getting this story into our educational system. And so there's a number of resources that are available free for teachers for download. So, and anybody wanting any information, please visit our website or can contact me. I'm the program manager at 1-866-288-7931 for any information. I'm here to help.
Okay, so anybody that's working on projects as well can get some funding if it has something to do with the internment.
Exactly. The Endowment Council was created by the Canadian government for the specific purpose of supporting commemorative, educational, and cultural projects intended to remind all Canadians of this episode in our nation's history. So we are a granting body, and that's what we're meant for.
And that's a culmination of a few decades of work, as you and I both know.
Absolutely. The Ukrainian community, including the Ukrainian-Canadian Civil Liberties, Ukrainian-Canadian Congress, and Ukrainian community members have taken over 20 years to come to the settlement with the Canadian government. And now, which is wonderful, we have the money and the resources to put this in our textbooks, to teach our children about what happened in Canada's history and to all the affected communities. So any Canadian is welcome to apply for a grant to the Endowment Council.
Thanks, Andrea. And I was speaking with Andrea Malish with the Canadian First World War Internment Recognition Fund. For information, visit www.internmentcanada.ca and tune in to Nash Holos for more information on the official opening of the Interpretive Center at the Cave and Basin Park in Banff. Up next is a song that was written about the internment, and this was a Canadian composer and singer by the name of Donna Creighton. She lives in Ontario. It is called Look, 80,000 Voices, and it is a song about Castle Mountain looking down on what was happening back between 1914 and 1920. This was at the Castle Mountain internment camp in Alberta.
Voices cried. This is Stefan Andrusiak from Rushnechok, and you're listening to Nash Holos with host Paulette McQuarrie. Дорогі слухачі, від всіх наших членів оркестри Рушнечок, великий привіт вам! Ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш Голос».
Ukrainian News Outlook.
Coming up, Kiev gets more pressure to release Yulia Tymoshenko. Juvenile delinquency in Ukraine hits level highs, and Kiev hosting the 8th International Aerospace Show. I'm Keith Parent. Germany's foreign minister was in Kiev to hold talks with Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych about a number of issues. One of the issues on the table was to sign a free trade agreement between Ukraine and Germany. But it seems that this can only go forward if Ukraine releases Yulia Tymoshenko to Germany so she can get better medical treatment. From Kiev, we have this report from Simon Mason.
German Foreign Minister Guido Westerwelle is visiting Ukraine in a bid to get the government of President Viktor Yanukovych to allow jailed opposition leader Yulia Tymoshenko to come to Germany for treatment for a chronic back condition. He's also warning Kiev her continued incarceration, which the EU sees as political, may endanger an EU-Ukraine free trade deal due to be signed before the end of the year. I have once again made it clear to the President that we are insisting on resolving the Tymoshenko case and that the German proposal to treat Mrs. Tymoshenko in Berlin is still on the table. Westerwelle also met Tymoshenko's daughter, Yevgenia, who's been campaigning for her mother's release by touring Western capitals. What Westerwelle called selective justice in the Tymoshenko case threatens a deal on steel, grain, chemicals and food exports for Ukraine and potentially large amounts of sorely needed foreign investment. In Ukraine, a tented village offers permanent support for her. Most important at the negotiations on the possibility of treating Yulia Tymoshenko abroad are the legal and political conditions on which the opposition leader could leave Ukrainian territory.
Juvenile delinquency is a problem the world over. But in many countries, juvenile delinquency has been on the decrease, except in Ukraine, where it's been hitting record highs. For more, we have this story from Dario Dikuts.
Juvenile delinquency in Ukraine takes dangerous proportions. According to the official data, the underages committed around 20,000 crimes last year. The non-governmental organizations put another figures on the table. They state that young people are involved in almost every third abusive action.
Since the beginning of the year, we have received 5,000 claims regarding missing children. They left home for various reasons. Meanwhile, now they have only one way to survive by all means. The criminal path starts with robbery, fraud or theft. Later, we can see all the palette of the criminal code and their actions.
According to UNICEF, around 100,000 of Ukrainian children live on the streets. They are at the highest risk of delinquent behavior. Sociologists say they are committing crimes in order to get food or drugs. However, lately, their offenses are often related to the need for self-affirmation and aggression. This stems from domestic violence experienced in early childhood and which is often a reason behind living on the street.
Перш за все, треба звернути увагу на сім'ю.
To stop the juvenile delinquency, we have to identify and to solve the reasons for this behavior. I think the state has chosen the wrong path of not interference into the families. All the responsibility lies on parents, but a lot of parents are not conscious enough. Meanwhile, the schools keep to providing education, that is it.
However, the sociologists are concerned over the spreading cruelty among the well-born children. In the web, one can easily find the videos of abuse and beating in the schools. To address the juvenile delinquency, the authorities have launched a program of legal education. According to the Ombudsman for Children, its main goal is to turn adolescents into law-abiding citizens.
Analysis and monitoring законодавства.
The Ukrainian legislation for children consists of many faults and it doesn't fully correspond with the UN Convention for the Rights of the Child. Now we present the criminal code for the children. It will help the adolescents to understand their rights and to realize responsibilities.
The authorities have also prepared the amendments to the criminal code of Ukraine, which should soften the responsibility of juveniles. At the same time, even severe charges will face the adults who involve children into criminal activities.
The full criminal liability in Ukraine begins at the age of 16. Now the country is going through a juvenile system reform. It is aimed at seizing the rise in juvenile crime by creating the prevention mechanism and providing rehabilitation for children who had problems with the law. Дарья Дюгус, Киев.
Many thousands of people turned up for Kiev's 8th International Aerospace Show. The aerospace sector in Ukraine has been struggling to keep up with the Europeans, Americans, and Russians. But there are some things that Ukraine is planning to do. They are planning to target countries around the world that cannot afford to buy planes from Airbus or even Boeing or even the Russians. To find out more about this year's International Aviation Show, we have the story from Alexandra Molokholub.
The newly designed products and upgraded machineries of more than 35 countries were displayed during the 8th International Airspace Show in Ukraine's capital Kyiv. Ukraine's crown jewel Maria, the world's heaviest and biggest carrier aircraft, was the highlight of the performance. The Soviet surface-to-air missile system Pechora-2D also caught the eye. The Soviets supplied the system to CIS countries Africa, Asia, Middle East and Latin America. Designed in late 59, the complex is now completely upgraded by the Ukrainian company.
The mechanical is constant. We change electronic internals, replacing it with a digital one. Together with the new localizers that we produce, the renewed surface-to-air missile system is serviceable for defending territories.
Another wide-known AN-148 family passenger aircraft of 100 seats are considered to be the most popular jets in the region. Ukraine ranks among top 10 countries that produce the full-range aircraft engineering. Experts say Ukraine is now increasing the production of civil aviation as the demand is increasing all over the world. One of the state company's design managers says, among other countries, cooperation with Iran has a long-time history, both in mutual trade and co-producing of the passenger AN-140.
We work closely with Iran for more than 15 years. We produce some airplane units here and supply it to Iran, where the aircraft is made up. In the meantime, we are engaged in talks on AN-158 production.
Experts say Ukraine is capable of providing development and manufacture of airplanes, carrier rockets, spacecraft aviation and missile engines, and radio-electronic equipment. The state's passenger aircrafts are leaders of sales in those regions with obsolete airports and tough landing conditions. However, the poor distribution is the factor that hampers the industry development.
The lack of repair bases all over the world, our jets are widely used, but they also break down, which is normal. In the meantime, we have repair bases only in South America, Russia and CIS countries.
According to experts, lack of funding and mass embezzlement have put the industry on the brink of survival. They, however, admit that over the last 5 years, the industry is reviving, making Ukraine one of the world's fastest-growing aviation countries. Alexander Molotkova, Kyiv.
And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Ukraine News Outlook. I'm Keith Powell. We'll see you in 7 days.
You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Ой, на горі дощ іде, а в долині сонце, ой, прийде, прийде, мили, під моє віконце, прийде, прийде, мили, під моє.
Zelia from their CD Willowbridge and a song called Oi na hori doshchi de. There is rain in the mountains, and speaking of rain, here is Paula Lam, a student from New England, and she's going to tell us why she loves dosht or rain and the Ukrainian language.
Добрий день. Мене звати Пола. Hello. My name is Paula Lem. I'm a student at Haverford College, an aspiring writer and literary translator. I enjoy learning languages and tinkering with words. I was very excited to discover the Nash Holos podcasts recently. I've been trying to learn Ukrainian on my own. Unfortunately, not many free resources exist for those wishing to independently learn the language and absorb the culture. Before I say a bit about my poem, I want to thank Pavlina Demchuk-Makori and all those involved in Nash Holos for your work and the opportunity that your radio station provides for students like me. In The Lusian Defense, Vladimir Nabokov wrote about the expressive power of sound. Nabokov recalled the Russian words for lemon and orange. He wrote, "When you pronounce limon, lemon, in Russian, you involuntarily pull a long face. But when you say apelsin, orange, you give a broad smile." The Ukrainian language is, to me, an apelsin, a linguistic orange. It is sweet on the tongue and lingers pleasantly on the lips. It raises the corners of my mouth and makes me smile. The first time I heard Ukrainian was late last summer, in the word for rain, dosh. At first, I didn't realize I was hearing Ukrainian. I thought maybe I'd misheard. I was at Middlebury College in Vermont on a 6-week program speaking only Russian. I'd begun to notice that one of my professors, originally from Kiev, pronounced a few Russian words somewhat differently. They seemed softer, lighter. One overcast day, my professor, Marina, said, "Скоро пойдет дождь." It looks like it'll rain soon. And it struck me, дождь was not at all Russian, nor was it my imagination. I started to look up Ukrainian words. The lexicon shares many roots with that of my own native language, Polish. I began to listen to Ukrainian music. Sviatoslav Vakarchuk is one of my favorites, and to memorize and translate songs for vocabulary and spelling. Their sounds delighted me, how the language flits and skips. I loved how the Russian «skolka» was in Ukrainian «skilki», how «tolka» became «tilki». Meanwhile, words like «zhitya», meaning life, «zhitya» in Polish, felt natural and true to me. The closeness of Ukrainian to my own native tongue continues to remind me of the cultural heritage we hold in common. It is a living testament to our shared Slavic roots. The following poem belongs to a series inspired by Ukraine. It was written for a documentary poetry project this semester at Haverford. The idea was inspired by stories my professor told me about life in Ukraine before she emigrated. This piece is in English, but includes Ukrainian words. It is documentary, but also a lyric poem. Because it focuses on language, and languages, as much as imagery, I feel it is very much an oral as well as a written form. Here is a poem called Dosh, Ukrainian for rain. Dosh, hush, heat, sigh. Serpiny, the month of the sickle, of harvest, of grain and dusty road. I have never stood in a wheat field in Ukraine. The wheat chirps at dusk. In Vermont, the corn is tall already, as lamp posts. The road is dusty. I listen. Soft wind, the murmur of rain. In Ukraine, does the August evening fall like here? Dosh, its singular whisper. I have never stood in a wheat field in Ukraine, but I love the sound of dosh. I love the way it curls on the lips and spools the tongue, the way it patters on the dusty road. I'm Paula Lem, and that was my poem Dosh. Дякую і до побачення.
тебе мову вчора, тримавши тебе за плечі, хоча бач синє море, бався сяєво місяць, воді чисті і прозорі, під хулька ласкаву пісню, чарівна ясні. Світ оранку,
For the very best in Ukrainian programming, make sure to tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio every Sunday at 5 p.m. on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver, as well Saturdays around the world on the PCJ Radio Network, on AM/FM and Shortwave Radio, and live in Nanaimo Wednesdays at 12 noon on 101.7 FM CHLY. As well, you can catch the podcasts, and the links are all at www.nashholos.com. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Теплом сусідньої хати не можеш своєї огрівати. And our proverb of the week translates as, the heat of your neighbor's house will not keep yours warm. Well, that just about wraps up another program. So to take us home, we've got the Ukrainian Old Timers. This is another group that you'll be seeing at the Vegreville Pesenka Festival, which takes place July 5th, 6th, and 7th. This is from their CD, John Deere, their 19th volume of Ukrainian tunes, and Oil on the Clutch. I'm Pavlina Demchuk-Macquarie. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.